Welcome to another episode of Ignite, the show that lights the path for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to elevate their impact. I'm your host, Vicki Hamilton. Today, we're diving into the pet care industry. But it's not just about the furry side of things. Our guest has turned her love for animals into a thriving professional education hub that's changing the industry standard. I can't wait to learn more. Dore Forleo is the founder of the Whole Pet Grooming Academy and a host of the business side of pet care. With over 20 years in the pet industry, Dore blends bold leadership with ethical care, proving that every business decision should put animals' well-being first. Dore, you built a school without a traditional business roadmap, relying instead on a passion and hands-on learning. So I want to start there. Let's begin there. Okay. You know, some of our challenges of people that are watching is they always are diving into business without the proper guidance, feeling like they're guessing at every step of the way. How did you turn your love for pets into a structured business where you didn't have a roadmap?
Wow. Well, you know, there's not, I haven't gone to business school. Doesn't really prepare you for that entrepreneurship journey that starts. And so I graduated from college, and I know there are a lot of young entrepreneurs out there. I'm seeing kids starting and young in high schools, and they're doing great. It just seems like there's a lot more online options now, but that for especially for online and e-commerce, but for grooming and for the pet industry, there's not a lot of education when it comes to running a business or owning a business. And it seems like there's, because it is, even though we're not recognized as a trade or recognized as a skill, having gone through college, I had the same mindset that a lot of people come out or a lot of people get into grooming and go, I can do it better. I can do it better. And how hard is it to be a business owner? Really? Like, anybody can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. And that's what happens a lot. And in our industry, people, that's what happened. It's like, I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to go do it myself. And I can do better. And then they find out, wait, well, oh my God, this is not what it's cracked up to be, right? I mean, isn't that what happens?
Absolutely.
I gotta pay taxes? Nobody's doing that for me? Oh my God, come on. So,
and I don't get vacation or 401k. Who's paying for that too?
Right? Yeah, I mean,
much less health care benefits.
Yeah, forget that. That is not even, unless you work at a corporate, healthcare is not optional. So it's,
I completely get that. So how did you build a school when you were just starting out? How did you get going?
I opened a bunch of shops, like a lot. I opened a shop and sold it, opened a shop and sold it, opened a shop and sold it. I don't like the day to day. I don't like the day to day of running a business. It just got so it was just boring for me. I needed more. I'm always, what's next? What's next? This is almost complete. What's next? So it was, running a grooming shop just was not enough stimulation for me. And I was like, what am I going to do? I am a serial scholar by nature. Put a class in front of me, like, I'm going to take it. So I love education. It's like, oh, I wonder if I could do grooming education. Sounds like a thing. So it took me 3 years to get a license through the state. And once I did that, we started hands-on doing in-person training. Just have found that that even was not our niche. Like we decided, I don't know, it's just not our thing. We did it 10 years and what's next? So I think a lot for us is happening is the where because of my group and my team, we're kind of, I feel like we're almost a decade ahead of the rest of the industry. The pet industry is growing in numbers, right? The you can look in at anything and go, okay, the pet industry, wow, this is amazing. Over $10 billion is spent on animals, but grooming is a small sector of that. And it's one that's not growing as fast as the rest of the other industries within the grooming industry or within the pet industry. So when you look at those and try to compare it, it's like, yeah, we need the education, and the education is not keeping up with us. So we're as much as we're going, what's next? What's next? The industry's going, wait, come
So,
back.
one of the things is that, and that's what happens when you are a visionary, right? And we know entrepreneurship takes passion. You got to have a vision, you got to have a strategy, and you're sitting and going, okay, this isn't really working. But let me ask you a question. When you started teaching, did you teach in your store first before moving to a school, or did you go direct to school? And if you did, how did you realize that that was really the theory and the process you wanted to follow?
Yeah, so we started, like I said, in the grooming salon. I had to transfer that grooming salon into an academy. And we had to set it up to be like school. Students come in, they check, they have their intro. So we kind of wanted to mimic that. You come in and first period, second period, third period, right? Because it's a school. I'm going to class. And we set that up. As we got bigger, it kind of when it fizzled out a bit, and then we after COVID things started changing. But a lot of people don't realize that when you teach somebody, and people look at our industry and go, wait, anybody can be a groomer, right? Anybody can be a groomer. You could decide, Vicky, you could decide tomorrow, like, oh, I'm done. I'm gonna go be a groomer. And you could do it. You could go to Walmart, you could get all your equipment, you could open up your own shop, and you're a groomer. You just have to watch YouTube videos and do it. That's the normal of our industry. So opening that school meant Department of Education, Department of Labor, a lot of scrutiny from the state. It took curriculum writing for somebody who loves school. Learning to write curriculums, totally different. And submitting that curriculum to the state to be approved. When the state comes back and goes, wait a minute, how do I know this is real? How do I know this is, because there's nothing to back this up. So then going to my instructors and going, I need sight sources. I need resources. I need to know, where did you get this information? If you can't source where you got this information, we can't use it because it's not education. You can't just pull it out of the clouds.
You know, that's one of the things that's real interesting, because when you're on the bleeding edge, when you're doing something that nobody else is doing, the amount you have to go to set the forefront, to set the direction, so that people begin to understand and respect your industry differently is something else, right? Because it's all about the fact that, okay, this hasn't been done before. I'm proving a new idea. And yes, I'm going to have to show you all these things so that once I do it, I'm the trendsetter. I'm the one that's out here doing it first. And nobody will be able to go find what I'm doing because I'm starting it first. And as you're doing that, what would you tell someone today if they're building with little direction on how to move forward? What would you tell them, since that's the way you started?
Grow some thick skin.
Ditto, ditto, ditto.
Grow some thick thick skin because it is hard because the industry does not like it when you go in and change things and you don't do things normal and you buck the system. They don't like that. So girl,
Yeah,
stay
exactly. Exactly. So thinking about that, let's expound a little bit in the last minute that we have, a minute or so. What mindset helped you believe in yourself before success started up, and what would you tell someone to have as a mindset?
Oh goodness. You know what? Surround yourself with people who believe in the vision. Because you have to have people that believe in you, and you have to have people out there that are going, yep, nope, we're doing it and we're staying the course because you can't do it alone. And that alone is lonely. And it's hard, and it's really hard to keep your focus and do it. So if you can, and I'm not talking about surrounding yourself with family and friends are great, but you need people who believe in what you're doing within the industry and stay with that. Keep that group close because they're the ones who are going to keep lifting you up and they're the ones who are going to help promote.
And they're the ones that are the business advisory to help you get going. And I think that's why business coaches and others are so valuable, because you said something very key. You can't do this alone, and we can't. We all need to have others who have industry knowledge and information so we can put it together. We may twist it a little bit, we may change it a little bit, but we all need to know that.
You
We'll be right back. And next, when we talk about how to train others without losing our unique voice in the process. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Are you enjoying what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Ignite or any other favorite Now Media TV shows, because they're live or on demand. Anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to all of our full lineup and bilingual programming. Yes, in both English and Spanish. Now, you may prefer to listen. Guess what? We got you covered. Catch the podcast version on the show right on the Now Media TV website, www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between. No, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. So we're here with Dara Forleo, who's not just training groomers, but building leaders in the pet industry. In this segment, we're looking at the challenge of teaching others while keeping your authentic message intact. I'm really excited about this one and want to understand her perspectives, because she's done something extremely unique in the pet industry. So let me ask, why do you think it's hard for business owners to pass their message on clearly as they're moving forward?
Well, I think we get locked into one thing, at least in the pet industry, is people don't know to look for your unique, what your uniqueness is, and learning who your customer persona is, and that you're not really just attracting anybody. You do have a person that you are reaching out to. And we try to pull from our students that come through any of our programs is we're trying to pull out their uniqueness and make them stand above and beyond what the rest of the industry is doing. And that's really hard to try to do that. Mostly because, again, we talked about that kickback. So that kickback from the industry of who do you think you are doing that? And who do they think they are? What gives them the right to do that? So we have to coach and mentor our students on not just you're doing great, you deserve this, you got this. Let's take it a next step further. What do you want to do with your career? Because we see students that come through and go, what? I don't have to groom every breed of dog. I can say no. I can do what I want. It's like you're the business owner. If you only want to do 20-pound dogs all day, do 20-pound dogs all day. If you want to do skin and coat and focus on therapeutics, then do it. You don't have to cater to every person out there because you know what? There's four other grooming shops right around you that are doing that same thing. So stand up and stand and have the courage to stand up. So we teach that as well.
And that's wonderful because all of us have skill sets, right? And there may be something that we gravitate more to than others, and we want to leverage that specialty. We want to put that twist on it as we move forward. How did you keep your voice in the curriculum as your school grew?
My voice stays on maintaining the business side of things. So the school itself has taken its own life. We've got our departments, we've got our dean of academics that takes care of everything for the academia part of things. And the business side, I get to keep my fingers in and keep that as close to me as possible. I do love, obviously, the business side of pet care is near and dear to me because I love talking about pet care providers and what they're doing. And again, bringing out that uniqueness. So that's where I get to stay in the loop with things. But otherwise, we really focus on if our educators and our people, the teachers who come in and teach, they get to keep their voice. And that's important to us as well because that's their life work. And we want them to be showcased for their uniqueness as well. And so blending that is really important to us that we give back that this is your life work, this is what you're creating, and we embrace it and promote it.
Well, have you ever had to refine training in order to have your vision come true as you're looking at instructors and bringing them in? Have
Oh,
you
yeah.
ever had to pivot? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, we pivot all the time. You know what? Business is not linear, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's
Exactly. Say that again. Business is not linear.
like a
Absolutely.
roller coaster sometimes.
Yep.
And yeah, so we pivot all the time. We recently did a huge pivot, which put us. We went from teaching in person and we are completely online now. We do not have a physical location. We do not focus on entry-level groomers. So if somebody is coming to us and going, "Oh, I want to be a groomer," great, we'll help you find a school. We're not the school for you. If you are a groomer, we're the school for you.
Okay,
So
and
that was a huge pivot for us because, again, that's something nothing in our industry does. Formal education is very unheard of. Nobody's doing it. There's no real school that's going, "You're already a groomer, I can give you more. I can get you that credential that you deserve. Make it real." But in an unlicensed, unregulated industry, how many people are really going, "Huh, I need that. At some point, I'm going to need it. Right now, I don't, though. So why would I invest in it? Why am I investing in an education and getting that formal diploma? Because I don't need it to be considered a dog groomer." So that's one of our biggest challenges, but we're going to overcome that.
So, it's really interesting you're talking about that as a challenge because you know whom your audience is. You want people that are already groomers. So you're talking to groomers and you're looking at, wanting to help them excel and to move forward. And it's really about that value proposition, right? Because you said it. People are going to say, I don't have to have this. Why do I need it? What are you going to give me? And what does this mean for me? So I'm sure that you're tracking a lot of metrics that when people graduate, what do they get versus when they don't have the certification, et cetera. But that even brings back looking at your curriculum of which certifications you give and why. So did you start out with just one or two, or did you really have a portfolio to begin with when you sparks
started.
began so that as you're given these certifications, you're ready to move forward.
We have added over the last 10 years. So it started just hands-on teaching that entry level, adding programs, adding new diplomas, adding. So now we've got four flagship diploma programs, and those,
Congratulations.
yes, thank you. Those are our main ones that are really have set, because they're all between 9 and 14 months, and that puts us at that above that career school into that college level because of the duration of it. But you don't go to college and get a diploma, right? So that's where we're kind of in that, in the middle. We want to make it to the next step up. So what do we have to do that is create a 2-year program, because you have to have a 2-year program to be able to be at that next level. So that would be our next goal, is to work on our programs being a full 2-year structural.
Okay.
That's a lot of
So
work.
if someone was, oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. And as you were talking about certifications and growth, understanding that that's where you have to go to when you're doing individual curriculums, and now you're going to the point where you're having to think, okay, it's almost as an associate degree for 2 years. So we really have a 2 year program that we're doing, a course that's different. But for people who may be watching and are interested, and they're like, wow, what a great idea to create a school. Are there certain tools or things that you would encourage others to use to get their voice, to get their message, and to really prepare their curriculum in an industry that they're so knowledgeable about?
Oh yeah, there are, so a lot, again, people don't realize that if you're teaching somebody any type of skill, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a regulated industry, if you are teaching somebody something and claiming they are a professional, whatever, you have to be licensed by the state. You have to go through the Department of Education and get your license as a school. Like, it took me 3 years to get that. It's not an easy process. They are going to look at everything, and there are so many steps. Every state is going to be different, but making sure that you go through that process and figuring out which branch of the government, of the Department of Education, you even have to go through, because there's so many different facets of that per state. So finding where you need to be for a career school or a trade school is the first thing you got to do. Once you do that, start your application process. But they are going to look for your finances. They want to see your financials. They want to see why you are an expert at what you do, where your education came from. Are you educated? What does the business, personal and financial, look like? Are you a legal business? Do you hold the right insurance? So you can get that checklist and download. Most states have their own packets that you can look at and go, what do I need to do to get started? It was like, oh, it was huge. And it was
Like
so,
a
oh
thick packet.
my gosh, it was so overwhelming. And some states even have a boot camp and go, this is how we want it turned in. You need to attend our 2-day workshop or our 2-day boot camp, to, because this is how we want you to submit it. And you get one chance. You get to submit it once. If they don't pass it right away, you have to wait another year before you can submit it in. Again, each state is different, but it is, they don't hold your hands, and they're not gonna come and knock on your door and say, oh, you're missing something.
But that's where those advisors come into place. Having somebody who knows the state of education helps you in terms of doing that. So, Dara, for those watching who want to learn more, where can they find you online, your website, socials, or LinkedIn?
You can find me at wholepetnh.com. And anyone who wants to open a career school, happy to help. We do advising for that all the time. We do work with smaller schools, because we know it's not easy being a small school by yourself. And We work with the state, and I do have a school page as well. You can go look at that
Okay.
school page for schools under the business section.
Awesome.
But
That is awesome.
that's the best way. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn and any of the socials. We're kind of out there. We try to be on everything. I don't like TikTok, so I'm not on TikTok.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much for that. Stick around. Explore how Dare goes beyond teaching pet grooming to help students transform themselves. We'll be right back. We're back with Dara Forleo, and this time we're shifting the focus from techniques to transformation. Because for Dara, teaching pet grooming is just the beginning of her journey. The real change happens in the confidence, purpose, and life skills her students gain. So, Dara, how do you go beyond teaching grooming and tap
Into
into
confidence
confidence
or
or purpose?
purpose.
What's
What's
the
the
process
process
you
you follow?
follow?
Oh, we like to stay close with our graduates. And so we have our own online community that is just for them. And we do a lot of education after they've graduated. So that is where they get to maintain their connection with us, and as we're growing, they can grow too. That's really the easiest way to say it. And some take advantage of it and some don't. Graduates are, we do have that platform that's available to non-graduates for a membership fee, but our graduates get it at no charge.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're building that community so people can continue to engage one another and stay motivated as they're moving through that purpose too. That's great. That's awesome. So, you know, it always helps to have somebody else who's in the same thing or been through what you've gone through so they understand the techniques, the process, and what's there to help you move forward, you know, as you're doing that. Can you share a story where a student gained more than just skills?
Oh boy, we have a bunch of them. So we've got a lot of graduates that have gone out. Not only have they opened grooming shops, they've opened secondary store locations. Oh, they've opened shops that have helped other groomers with equipment. They're teaching themselves. They've written books. So we've got quite a few published graduates now that have books out there. So that's so neat. One of our educators has her own published first aid and CPR book. That's recently, actually, we have two educators with published books. And so one of the we just we've really try to keep them going. We've got a couple graduates that have gone on and work in other schools and teach at other schools too. So not just here in the United States, they are all over the world. We have graduates in New Zealand and Australia and the UK. So they're going all over. Aruba, we've got a wonderful graduate in Aruba that has it's just all kinds of so many good things happening with them. But they're learning their uniqueness and being able to really take pride in being able to say, like I said, kind of earlier, I don't have to do, I can do what I love. You know, I know me personally, I'm a fantastic bather and I love de-shedding dogs. But as a groomer, I didn't care for doing all the fancy cuts and you know that just wasn't me. I like certain breeds and to be able to go, I can do just this and helping our graduates do that. Now we have these micro pop-ups, right? There, I specialize in cats. I specialize in double-coated breeds. I specialize in skin and coat. I specialize in behavior cases. So we're really pulling that all those uniquenesses out too.
So let me ask you a question. Why does teaching life skills through vocational work matter? What's the correlation there?
Oh, there's, 'cause I don't think very many people know what life skills are anymore. No. It's a true story, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not everybody goes to college. Not everybody should go to college. It's not right for everyone, but there are still skills at school that you learn that aren't even being passed on, especially business-wise in the trade industry. And trades being electricians, mechanics, anybody, you know, that's not taught in school anywhere unless you go and get a business degree. And it should be important, even in the beautician and cosmetology world. Not a lot. You have a lot of competition, and there are a lot of people doing those jobs, and you need to be able to stand out and make yourself different from everybody else. So I think having these conversations and making people think, because not everyone goes, oh, I can be different. I don't have to be the same. I don't have to do it the same way. It's like, no, why did you get into business in the first place? You did it because you really, I mean, an entrepreneur doesn't get into business. One, we get into it to make money.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing. One, we want to make money. And two, we don't want somebody else telling us what to do. So we don't play well at work. We like being in
That's
charge.
one perspective. That's definitely a way to look at it because you give up those things we were talking about earlier, vacation time, healthcare, and all of that, in lieu of the fact that you're going to run your own. So it's like, I'll get my own kind of healthcare, I'll get my own kind of savings, I'll do what I want to do, but at least I'm living my life the way, I want to do it. So with that being said, can you share with our audience one way to bring their heart into instruction today? How do you make it so that learning is fun? It's part of your heart, your joy. It's not just an instruction of like a recipe, step one, two, three, and four. Can you give us some ways on how to do that?
Well, you have to be excited about what you're teaching and passionate about what you're teaching. And if you're even training somebody on the job, whether it's doing, if you're in that position of training entry-level positions, you have to love what that position is to be able to teach it and give them, because otherwise you're not creating that next great employee. And having the passion to teach it exciting is, it is hard, but not when you love what you do. So if you're not gonna love teaching somebody and passing that knowledge on, don't do it.
And that's one thing I agree. You don't want people to where it is like, I'm just doing it to check a box. I'm just doing it, because I'm required to do it, not because I love it. Especially when you think about, I got to go through the state. I got to go through this checklist. I got to get all these things done and the requirements that they give you. But you got to be passionate enough what you do to do what I call that 80-20 rule, the 80% of what you love and the 20% you got to do that you hate to do. But in order to get the 80%, you got to do the 20, right?
Unless you're
So
wealthy enough, you can pay somebody to continue to do the 20%.
there you go. There you go. And then you can focus on the 80 and you can say, okay, that 20, let somebody else go and do. And that's also the reason, for great partnerships as you move forward in terms of making it happen. Great point. As we talk about, and that's the other thing is being business owners. You can have people to do those things you don't want to do, right? And so
I
you,
love doing the state paperwork. I love it.
oh, really? Yeah, that's a service, honey. I see
Oh
lots
my
of money
God.
in that
That is like,
because.
I love dealing with the state. That's where I thrive with all of that. And that's why the state's always like, you got like the best school in the state. We run the tightest ship. It's like, I know, because I love it. I love structure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, up next. How Dara has weathered the storms in business and what resilience really looks like in the pet care industry. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Ignite. Are you enjoying what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of Ignite or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming. Yes, in both English and Spanish. Now, if you prefer to listen, we got you covered. Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmediatv, nowmedia.tv, that is. www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. For our final segment, Darren is sharing lessons in resilience, how to navigate the storms every business faces and come out stronger on the other side. So, has there been a time in your academy that you felt at risk, and how did you handle it? What did you do when you had to overcome those challenges?
Oh, we're overcoming challenges every day. Those challenges never, no, I shouldn't say they're not always there, but it is, you just take them in stride. They're like speed bumps. What is my grandmother's, my parents always used to say, you know what? When things get hard and you get through them, it just makes you stronger and you just get stronger and more resilient.
You know, I hear you. It's
I mean,
because we all gonna have hills and valleys, right? We're gonna have good times, gonna have hard times, gonna have easy times. We're gonna go through storms of growth. That's what I like to call them, right? When you're having those opportunities, like, okay, this is my growth period. I need to learn something. I need to grow from this so I can get to the next level. And so we do always go through that. So you're absolutely right. We have to understand that's part of the journey. What kept you grounded when business felt unstable? What did you do?
cry. No.
Let's have some real talk.
That. You get to be human every once in a while.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You have to. No, I've got a great team, and having a good team is huge. And when you have people that you surround yourself with that, again, believe in that vision, believe in that mission, and believe in what you're doing, you're unstoppable. Or you should be. I mean, because the more people that are excited about it, you're gonna start generating. Our students are coming, graduates are coming in, people are talking about us. So a lot of people talk about us negatively. It's okay. Teach their own, right? I mean, you gotta have that thick skin too, because that's all part of it. You're not, you don't get into business to make friends. Your friends come to you, but you what do they say? Keep your friends close and your
Enemies
enemies closer.
closer.
No. There are some things to be said for that, but really, I mean, the best thing you can do is have a great team. Keep going, because if you believe in it that much, I mean, I've heard, I can't even tell you how many times I've talked to even my own business advisor is like, is this really worth it? Is this really worth the struggle, the battle that you're going through right now? Is it worth it? And I'm like, yes, this is my life work. Yes, this is what I believe in. This is going to happen.
Yes.
And they're like, I don't know where you get it from, but okay.
Well, you know, it's that positive mindset. And I think what you're talking about right now is so critical for people in our audience to hear. Because, there will be days when you're like, okay, am I doing this for nothing? Am I going to get there? When things stack up against you and you feel like I just can't catch a break, what am I going to do? I think every entrepreneur has been there at one time or another. Or I was doing projections for the year and thought I'd be at this dollar amount and I'm so far below and I'm not where I need to be to move forward and grow and pay employees and all that kind of stuff. All of those things do bring resilience as you move forward, but you're right. You have to believe and love your business more than anybody. Nobody can love it more than you do because it
Nobody.
takes a lot of thick skin and tears and everything else to get through it.
Screaming.
So let's talk about that. How have setbacks made you a better leader?
It's helped because again, that's not something that it doesn't come naturally to me. I have to work really hard at it. And I had a hard time teaching on the floor with other people because I see it, I do it. I come from a different strong background with being an equestrian, and that's very structured. I competed and showed horses, and you didn't move forward without hard work, and you had to take care of everything around that animal to get to the next level. So this school made sense to me. But leadership was not something that came naturally, and it's something I work on every day. I mean, I got a library full of books back there that I'm like, okay, I need some inspiring quotes today. Who am I reading now? Which one am I picking up? I got this because I'm not alone. These guys have done it. If they can do it, I can do it.
Right.
But you have to work at it, and you have to work at yourself, and you have to be able to go, yep, I effed up. Sorry. Yep, I
That's
made
real
that.
talk because you know what? We all make mistakes,
We
right?
do.
My thing about failing is what I call fail is a first attempt in learning. If I didn't fail, I didn't have my first attempt in learning. I wouldn't grow, I wouldn't develop, I wouldn't understand differences and things like that. So I always tell people when you fail, it's growth and it's okay, right? But
And
what's
failure is
important
good.
is what did you learn from it and how are you going to keep from happening it again as you move forward? But you said something that I think is critical for our audience to hear. You said, I realize leadership is not my thing. That self-awareness, it's not. I need to go get additional help. I need more guidance. So, how did you go and get these books? How did you determine what it was you needed in these books to be able to help you to move forward? I think that is so enlightening and powerful because so many people are not that self-aware. And then when they are, they don't know how to go and fix it and get help.
It took a lot of years of being a all those first 5 years of being a business owner and going, why am I not growing fast enough? And realizing how bored I was and not growing fast enough, and not realizing that I could have been growing much quicker had I had the knowledge. And when I decided to go, I started taking online classes and working with the Chamber of Commerce in our community. And I fell in love with working with the Chamber of Commerce because it gave me access to other business owners who have already been in the position I was in. And it took me to realize that, you know what? I don't need to go to somebody who understands grooming or understands even the industry. Business is business, doesn't matter. Your problems in business are my problems in business. We all have the same issues. It's hiring, it's employees, it's maintaining, it's payroll, it's everything. We all have the same problems. And listening and being able to sit back and go, oh, you read what? Okay, I'm going to go grab that book and I'm going to digest that book. And then somebody else going, oh, but did you read this one? No, I haven't heard of that one. What's that one? Okay, I'm going to go buy that one. And that's it. And I got them on pod. Not only do I have all the books in hardback, I got them audio so that I can highlight.
Exactly.
And you said making mistakes is you have to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. We can't be perfect all the time. We want to be, but being able to look at yourself and go, yep, I did make mistakes and I need to fix those and I need to work on myself. And realizing as a business owner that we don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. We still need and rely on people. And I get a business advisor that's steps ahead of me.
Yes.
And then I find out, you know what? I've already mastered this. Now I move on and get the next level. And it's like you got to peel those levels off to be able to continue climbing. And you're not meant to stay with one person forever as your mentor. You gotta grow because at some point you're gonna be equal with them and you gotta
Exactly.
keep going.
Exactly.
So that's, I think, working on that and being able to know and look at yourself. You gotta look at yourself in the mirror and say,
Yeah.
where are my faults? And how are my faults affecting my team?
Yeah.
And how can I better those faults and make them, where do I learn from them? I know I don't feel like I'm a great leader, and it's something that I really want to work on, and I
Well, you
do.
know, Dara, you have to be a great leader because you wouldn't be where you are today. And being a great leader is also understanding where to get help. This has been extremely, incredibly valuable. Where
Thank
can
you.
people follow your work and continue the conversation?
Oh, find me on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. Get me there
Great.
in fullpetnh.com. You can find me there and reach out to me, and you can chat directly with me on the website.
So, Dara, thank you for your honesty and insights and for showing us that leadership with heart is just
Leadership
as
part.
important as business strategy.
It
For
is.
our viewers, remember that challenges aren't stop signs, they're stepping stones. Keep your mission at the center, your resilience strong, and your vision alive. I'm Vicki Hamilton, and this is Ignite, where we help leaders light the fire within. And we'll see you next time.